present to you today one of the dearest men I know anywhere in this world. Dr. Fred Luter is the pastor of Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. He's a graduate of the University of New Orleans and very close to finishing up, which he must do, at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, although life has become complicated for him because of the rapid growth of the church, which is actually located just a few blocks from the seminary campus there in New Orleans. And Dr. Fred Luter was elected as second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention this year, the convention meeting there in New Orleans, and I was so grateful for that because of the respect and regard I have for this man. Why do I have such great respect for Dr. Fred Luter? Well, first of all, in a day when ministerial integrity is often almost missing, Fred Luter has demonstrated across the remarkable years of his ministry, though he is still a very young man, the kind of absolute fishbowl, open to the world integrity that is rare in these days. People who know him have seen him in every situation and have had the opportunity to observe the sweet humility before God of this man, who has every reason in the world to be proud, I suppose, as men would view it, but instead has carried all of that in a sweet vessel of humility before the Lord and has simply given himself to reaching people for Jesus Christ. It was Dr. Luter's conviction that you could reach enormous numbers of black men in the black community. He did not feel that Louis Farrakhan had to have them all and that there was anything there. That was superior to the way that Christ offered. And so he just knew he had to find a way. The church, Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, had pretty well gone out of business. And Fred simply went to the folks there and said, look, this is dying, give it to me. And they looked around themselves and they said, that's right, we're dying, we'll give it to you. And so they did. Now the next deal was, how on earth do you get it going? And so he hit upon the expedient of getting a large screen television and offering pay-per-view boxing for free. Anybody that wanted to come. The only deal was that their ticket for admission was Bible in hand and an hour early. And so the first day they opened it up, I've often wondered how Fred's wife managed to live with this, but it was in their home. That's the only way they had to do it. And they had a crowd of young men that showed up to see pay-per-view boxing free and to hear Fred expound the scriptures. First thing you know, began to win them to Christ and the church began to grow and prosper. So I was down there one Wednesday night not too terribly long ago, and I said to my brother-in-law, Chuck Kelly, who's now president of New Orleans Seminary, I said, Chuck, let's just go over there incognito and slip in and and worship with them and see what's going on. Well, we had to park about six blocks away because there were cars everywhere on Wednesday night. Most amazing thing I ever saw. Got there and the place we knew there might be a crowd, so we came early. And all the places were already gone, wasn't any place to sit. Fortunately, somebody had mercy on us and realizing that we looked like we were pretty much out of place, got up and gave us a seat so we wouldn't stand out any more than we did. And we sat there in amazement as we looked at a congregation that was 65% young black males. Now, I want to tell you what, there isn't a church of any kind in this country that's got 65% men. I just want to tell you, that's very rare anywhere. I hate to confess it being the arch male chauvinist pig of all time and eternity, but women have more of an inclination and a heart for God than men do. Right? Sad, isn't it? But it's true. And I don't guess it's sad they have an inclination toward God. It's sad we don't. And so it was amazing to see what God is doing there. And this church has continued to grow and prosper for the last two or three years. Franklin Avenue Baptist Church has led the Louisiana Baptist Convention with which it's affiliated in baptisms. And this, my brother, Fred Luter, has been used of God in a positively amazing way. I just come to love him more and more all the time. I'm delighted to have him with us today. And Siegfried and Corey are going to come sing for us, and then as soon as they have sung, you'll listen with open heart today to the message of Dr. Fred Luter.
What great, great music. Thank you. All of the music today has been wonderful. God bless all of you. Good evening. No, good morning. I'm sorry. It's such a joy to be here today. I want to give obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to a man that I deeply honor and respect, and very humbled that he asked me to be here today, Dr. Paige Patterson, very unusually gifted, intelligent man. And one thing I appreciate about Dr. Patterson is as much wisdom and knowledge as God has given him to expound on the Word of God. He has a great sense of humor. I love that. I love that about him. He has a great, great sense of humor. And I thank God for him and for his friendship and for all that he's done in my young life and my young ministry. I was telling Clay last night, Dr. Patterson read about Franklin Avenue years ago in some magazine or something, and he wrote me a letter before I ever knew him, and just to encourage me for the work that was happening down at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church. And I met him several years later at one of our conventions there in Houston, I think it was. And ever since then, we've just been best of friends, and I'm just honored that he's asked me to be here to share with you on today. I'm also honored to see an old New Orleanian, a friend of mine I have not seen in a while, Carolyn McLennan. She's somewhere here in the chapel service, but it's a joy and a privilege to be here with you today. Turn your Bibles with you, please, to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4. I asked Dr. Patterson, is this a normal crowd? This is such a great crowd. I thought maybe they were expecting Dr. Jerry Vines or Adrian Rogers or something like that, but he said, no, this is a usual crowd for chapel. This is wonderful. This is exciting. And I'm excited that you feel this great about your chapel service to come and be a part of it. I want to share a message today that hopefully will be an encouragement to all of you. Right now, many of you are preparing for ministry, whether it's being a pastorate, a youth pastoring, a music ministry, a Christian education. And one of the things we've got to understand that things will not always be easy for us in ministry. Southeastern is one of the greatest seminaries in this country, and it will prepare you for the work out there in the ministry, but there are going to be a lot of things that you're not prepared for once you get out there into the mission field and out to the various missions that God has assigned for you. But I want to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think and ask. And I just pray that as this message today will be encouragement to you as you go out and strive to be all that God wants you to be in your particular ministries. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 is where we're going to preach from this morning. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And you'll find these words. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that was now full. And he was in the hind part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we thank and we praise you for this tremendous opportunity that you've given us to stand in this pulpit one more time. Thank you, God, for the leadership of Dr. Patterson. Thank you for the faculty, the staff, and the students who are here today. Thank you, Lord, for these pastors that have come from the inform. God, I pray that you'll bless this time of preaching as always, God. Hide me, let them not see Fred. Let them see Christ, God. Let me decrease as you increase. And we be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray and for our sake. Let everybody say. Amen. And you can say amen all throughout this sermon. Don't bother me at all. I'd appreciate that. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want to preach this morning from the subject, what to do when trouble comes. What to do when trouble comes. My brothers and my sisters, have you ever wondered what these disciples were thinking when they agreed to follow Jesus? Dr. Patterson, what could they have possibly been thinking? What Southeastern could have been on their minds? After all, brothers, Jesus had recruited these men. When he recruited them, he had not yet started his public ministry, but they followed him. As a matter of fact, many of them had only heard of Jesus. They may have heard Isaiah's report in Isaiah 9 and 6 that Isaiah reported, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Or maybe they had heard John the Baptist report that when John spoke, that listen, that there's someone that's coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to tie. And with this limited amount of information, these 12 fishermen made a decision that would literally change their future. Keep in mind, brothers, keep in mind, sisters,
Pastors, keep in mind that Jesus had not yet started his public ministry, yet they followed him. He had not yet preached his famous Sermon on the Mount, yet they followed him. He had not yet shared with them the golden rule, yet they followed him. He had not yet dealt with them any doctrinal or family issue that he later did in his ministry, but the scripture says, yet they followed him. Not only that, Jesus had not yet performed many of the miracles, praise team, but he had not yet turned water into wine. He had not yet healed the sick among them. He had not yet raised Lazarus from the dead. He had not yet fed a multitude with two fish and five loaves of bread. He had not yet done any of those things. Yet the scripture says these 12 unlearned men left all they had and they followed Jesus. These ordinary people. These ordinary men, these fishermen, Dr. Patterson, left all they had. The Bible said that they followed Jesus. In the words of Dr. Chuck Kelly, in the great Hebrew word, wow. What faith? What faith, my brother? What faith, my sister? My friend, these disciples, they believed in Jesus. They took him at his word in spite of the obvious questions they had. The scripture said they dropped everything and straightway they followed Jesus. My brothers and my sisters, what a friend. What a lesson for so many of us to learn this morning. Well, what a lesson for so many of us to learn to learn from these disciples and realize that in order to follow Christ and in order to be successful in ministry, you've got to have faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 say, faith is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Oh, my friend, in order to be a follower of Christ, you must have faith. Faith to believe that what he says he'll do, he will do. Faith to believe that no matter what you face in your ministry, no matter what you face in your churches, no matter what you face in your life, you've got to believe that God will take care of you. Faith to believe that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Faith to believe that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loves you. Oh, my friend, just like many of us today, when we're taking on churches, many of you are preparing for ministry, and you're sending out resumes, and you're looking for that church, you're looking for that ministry that you know God wants you to have. And oh, you'll be interviewed by a pulpit committee, and they'll come and interview you on campus, or they'll fly you out to the respective churches, and they'll tell you everything about the ministry, and they'll tell you, oh, we got this type of building, and we've got that type of ministry, we got these many functions, and our budget is this, and our church does this, but yet when you go there and get on the field for yourself, it ain't nothing like they say it was going to be. And here you are, called of God, and the pulpit committee has lied to you in your face. What do you do then? Do you turn around and go back, or do you take the Lord by faith and go on? 10 years ago, when I was just a street preacher, preaching on the streets of New Orleans, I was called by one of the members of Franklin Avenue Baptist Church and said that there was a vacancy in the pulpit. And at that time, I didn't realize, I was just a street preacher there. I wasn't even ordained. I was just a licensed preacher. I met the pulpit committee, then I met the DOM of the association that the church was a part of. And as Dr. Patterson told me, I never pastored before. My first pastorate, my DOM gave me my job. He said, son, we're tired of putting money into this church. You're the fourth pastor here in 6 years, and we're tired of putting money in. We're going to close it down. We're going to sell it to the highest bidder. This is the last chance that you have at it. I want you either to resurrect this church, or we're going to bury it. Now, brother, put yourself in my place. Never pastored before. First pastor, wasn't even ordained, Dr. Patterson, just a licensed preacher. My audience was people on the street corner, was drunkards and drug addicts. And now I'm just happy to be in a building where there's lights and pews. And my job description is resurrect this thing or bury it. I didn't know all the things. I was National Baptist all my life. I didn't know all the Southern Baptist growth principles. I didn't know all the great fathers of the Southern Baptist Convention and all the great churches and how they grew their churches. But I knew what God had did in my life. I knew that I was a street kid, too mean to live and not fit to die. I was on my way to hell and enjoying the ride. But oh, one day I know what God did in my life, for I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. I can't speak for you, Southeastern, but it was love that lifted me. Love that lifted me when nothing else could help. Can I jump in this pulpit? Can I? When nothing else could, yeah, I get excited when I think, when nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. And when I realized where God brought me from, I said, God, you are no respecter of person. If you raise me from the dead, you can raise this church from the dead. You can raise these people from the dead. And you got, I went in there by faith to believe that God's word is true from Genesis to Revelation. And if God says it can be done, I believe that God says it can be done. And I went there by faith. I didn't look at the budget. I went there by faith. I didn't look at what past pastors did. I went there by faith, realizing what God can do because he did it in my life. But you know what, my brothers and sisters, that sounds good preaching it. That sounds good reading it, but I discovered that when trouble comes in your life, faith is the first area that Satan works on. When trouble comes in your life, I discovered that faith is the first area that Satan works on. Listen, I don't care how many scriptures you've committed to memory. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in the church. When trouble comes your way, not across the street, but your way. When trouble comes your way, not around the corner, but your way. When trouble comes your way, not down the block, but your way. When trouble comes your way, not somebody else's church, but your church. Not somebody else's ministry, but your ministry. Not somebody else's children, but your children. Not somebody else's family, but your family. When trouble comes knocking on your door, notice that faith is the first thing that the enemy works on. My friend, trouble comes your way. Satan has a way of shaking your faith and causing you to fear. Satan has a way of shaking your faith and causing you to doubt. Satan has a way of shaking your faith and causing you to wonder, is God still there? Is God still in control? Does he still answer prayer? My brothers, have anybody else ever been there beside me? When things are just not going the way you thought they should go? You know, the professor told you this should happen and this should happen and that should happen, and none of that has happened yet? And you ask yourself, Dr. Patterson, did I make a mistake? Did I miss God? Is this the place? Is this the church? My friend, when trouble comes in your ministry, faith is the first thing that Satan works on. And you begin asking yourself, does God still care? Will he take care of me? Reminds me of the story of Dr. Patterson that I heard several years ago of this young man walking in the wilderness. Because he wasn't watching where he was going, Carolyn, he fell into this seemingly bottomless pit. And he was able to grab on to a branch as he was on his way down. He looked down and there was nothing but darkness. I mean, just a bottomless pit. He looked up and he couldn't climb out of that thing, so he began to cry out, hey, is anybody up there? Nothing. But brother and man, he cried out a little louder. Hey, is anybody out there? Nothing. He cried out one more time. Hey, is anybody up there? And the verse came back and said, yes, I'm here. And he said, who is it? And the verse said, this is God. He said, oh, God, I knew you would come to my rescue. God, I knew you would save me. God said, do you believe I can deliver you? Yes, God, I believe you can deliver me. God said, do you have faith that I can set you free? Yes, God, I have faith that you can set me free. Do you have faith without a doubt that I can get you out? God, I have faith without a doubt that you can get me out of this pit. God told him, let go the branch. There was a long period of silence there. After a while, the voice came back. Hey, is anybody else up there? That's what I've discovered. If Satan can get you to fear, Satan can get you to doubt. And if he can get you to doubt, he can shake your faith. My friend, what do you do when trouble comes in your ministry? What do you do when deacons get devilish? What do you do when trustees get tricky? What do you do when members get messy? What do you do when choir members get cranky? What do you do when preachers get pushy? And professors get pushy? What do you do when students get slowful? What do you do when trouble comes in your ministry? Well, my friend, that's exactly what's happening in our text. Jesus has now been with these disciples a good while now. He's been ministering. Matter of fact, the beginning of this text tells he's been sharing several parables with those who were in hearing range. He told them, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. And Jesus taught them, and he shared them. And oftentimes, as he taught and shared on and on, Jesus being Mary's son, not only was he God's son because he was divine, because he was Mary, but he was also human because he was Mary's baby. And being Mary's baby, he got tired. He got fatigued, and he got in the boat with his disciples, to go over to the other side. The Bible said while in the boat, he fell asleep. They've been together several years now, and he's tired, and he falls asleep. And the Bible says that as he falls asleep, the winds begin to roar, and the storms begin to come, and water comes in the boat. Now, what I want you to understand at this time in the scripture, during this time, these disciples had no doubt heard his great teachings by now. During this time, they had heard his sermons by now. They've seen the miracles that he performed. They've seen the life that he had changed. They know that he's the Messiah. They now know that he's the Son of God. They knew that there was nothing too hard for God to do. Yet our text tells us that in spite of all that their eyes had seen and in spite of all that their ears had heard, these followers of Jesus, these disciples of Christ, didn't know what to do when trouble came in their lives. They didn't know what to do when trouble came their way. How unfortunate, how tragic, how sad. Picture the scene, brothers. Picture the scene, if you will. Jesus is asleep in the boat. They're in the midst of a storm. They've been like, Fran, I don't know. But they're in the midst of a storm, and the winds are blowing, and the rains are beginning to come in, and there's water coming in the boat. And Peter turned to John, and John can't answer, doesn't he care if we perish? How can he just lay there and go to sleep? How can he just lay there and snooze? Look at our situation. The boat is rocking. We're about to die. Why isn't he doing something? Why isn't he doing something? Doesn't he realize what's going on? My friend, have you ever been there? Now, what's so ironic, brothers, what's so ironic, sisters, about this situation is that these are the same people that left all to follow Jesus. Dr. Patterson, these are the same ones that left all to follow Jesus. These are the same fishermen who, without a doubt in their mind, knew had chose Jesus as Savior. These are the same people without much evidence at all followed Jesus by faith. As long as he was healing the sick, he was all right then. As long as he was giving sight to the blind, he was all right then. As long as he was dealing with their enemies, he was all right then. But oh, listen to them. Does Jesus care? I mean, isn't he concerned? How can he sleep like that, knowing what's going on in our lives? How can he sleep like that, knowing what's going on in our... Have you ever asked that question? Lord, why don't you do something for that deacon? Why don't you do something for that trustee? How can you not move, God? Do something. Why don't the budget committee see my vision? God, do something. Why don't the budget committee see we're trying to reach the youth and yet they won't give us any more funds? God, do something, Master. God, don't you care about these youth? Don't you care about this community? Don't you care about the church? And yet you let human beings stand in the way? Have you ever been there like me? These brothers were at the situation, and they begin to panic. But oh, my friend, don't be so hard on these disciples. Don't be so quick to judge their behavior. Don't so easily point a finger at these brothers. For many of us have been in the same situation. Many of us in that situation right now, until the rest of you just keep on living, you're going to get in that situation one day. Sooner or later, all of us in here will be confronted with the question in your ministry of what to do when trouble comes. The honeymoon only lasts for a few years for some of us. And trouble will confront you in ministry. Trouble will confront you in ministry. And you've got to determine, what do I do now, God, when trouble comes? My friend, I want to share with you as I hurry up to a close. Three things to remember when trouble comes into your ministry. Three things to remember when the storms of life are raging in your personal life. Three things that these disciples forgot during their ordeal with the Master. Three things that we usually forget when trouble comes our way. My friend, the first thing that you need to remember when trouble comes, first of all, remember the promise of Jesus. Remember the promise of Jesus. Look at verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Did you see that? Let us pass over to the other side. My friend, Jesus didn't come to drown. He didn't come to drown. He said, let's go over to the other side. He came to fulfill a mission. He had not yet been to Calvary. He couldn't drown. He had not yet shed his blood. He couldn't drown. He had not yet given forgiveness for a dying world. He couldn't drown. He had not yet set the keys from hell and death and the grave and said, all power is in my hand. He couldn't drown. He said, let's go to the other side. Oh, my friend, whenever trouble comes in your ministry, don't forget the promises of Jesus. And my friend, God's word is full of promises for you and I. Oftentimes you'll feel forsaken in ministry, but remember his promises. In Psalms 37 and 25, where David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Sometime you're going to get discouraged in ministry. But remember his promise in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. That said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. When you worry, remember his promise in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And you lonely, remember the promise in Psalm 27 and 10 that said, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. If you're confused, remember the promise in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 that said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all of thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Oh, when thinking about the promises, songwriter wrote the song that said maybe he was in a hurricane like Fran was, and he heard the trees blowing, and he heard the lightning, and he heard the rain, and the songwriter, thinking about the promises of God, said something like this, Lord, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, still fight on. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. So when you're facing trouble in ministry, remember one, the promise of Jesus. Second thing I need you to remember as I hurry along here, not only remember the promise of Jesus, secondly, remember the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. Even as he was in the ship. Even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ship. My friend, remember the presence of Jesus. He was right there in the boat. Peter, he was in the boat. James, he's in the boat. Andrew, he's in the boat. My friend, remember the presence of Jesus. If you've been born again, if you've been redeemed, if you've asked him to save you, well, guess what? He's living in you. He's walking in you. He's talking with you. He's having fellowship with you. He told his disciples in John chapter 14, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you another comforter. He told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. My friend, no matter where you are, his presence is there. No matter what your situation, no matter how tricky the trustees, the devil is, the deacons, a mess of the members, God's presence is right there with you. Oh, my friend, no matter what your situation, when you're up on a mountain and everything is going well, he's there. When you're down in the valley, he's there. When trouble comes in your marriage, he's there. When trouble comes in the ministry, he's there. When sickness attacks, he's there. When persecution comes, he's there. He's living right on the inside of you, and he promised to never leave you. Isaiah 43 and 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall any fire kindle upon thee. Oh, my friend, his presence will be with you. But oh, don't take my word for it. Ask Noah about his presence. As the Red Sea was in front of him, Pharaoh was behind him, and the mountains on both sides, God's presence was there. As God just allowed that highway to go right into the Red Sea, he was there with Moses. But oh, ask David about his presence. Ask Daniel about his presence. Ask the children of Israel about his presence. And they all can tell you he's there. But not only then, there's somebody right here in this chapel. Somebody on this side who can tell you about his presence. Somebody on this side who can tell you about his presence. Somebody who can tell you, listen, I was about to throw in the towel. I was about to give up, but I called on the name of the Lord, and he came in right on time. Oh, my friend, don't forget his presence. He's living in you. He's right in the boat, and all you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is call on him. I think the praise team sung a song earlier talking about he was there all the time. I've got to come to a close. I got one more minute left. What do you do when trouble comes? One, remember the promise of Jesus. Two, remember the presence of Jesus. And thirdly, what do you do when trouble comes? Remember the power of Jesus. Look at verse 39. And he arose, and he will arose. He will get up, brothers. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, what's up with y'all? That's the Fred Luther's translation. What's that? Well, what's up with y'all? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Brothers, sisters, when you go into your ministries, when things are not happening like you think they should, remember the power of Jesus. My friend, whatever you do, don't forget his power. Power over church mess. Power over business meetings. Power over adversity. Power over bondage. Power over confusion. Power over discouragement. Power over temptation. Power over trouble. Power over the enemy. John 1 and 12 said, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons, the daughters, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Acts 1 and 8 said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Isaiah 40 and 29 said, he giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Power of faith, not of fear. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Power to preach right. Power to teach right. Power to sing right. Power to serve right. Power to stand against the attacks of the enemy. Power to stand against the wiles of the devil. Power to not only speak to those mountains in your ministry, but say, move mountain. Move mountain by the authority of Jesus Christ. Mountain, get out of my way. What to do when trouble comes? Remember the presence. Remember the promise. And remember the power of Jesus. As I go to my seat, one of my favorite TV programs when I was a little boy growing up was Superman. How many of y'all remember Superman? Now, not the new one, this brute, this Kane guy, he's too cool, he's too suave. I mean, the Nickelodeon Superman. How many of y'all remember that? Remember Clark Kent, clumsy, nerdy fella? I mean, Lois Lane was literally hitting on, Lois Lane was literally giving him the key to her apartment. He said, Lord, what is this for, Lord? I mean, just, the boy didn't have a clue. But, oh, don't let trouble come to the Daily Planet. Don't let trouble come to the Metropolis. Don't let Perry White get in trouble. Don't let Jimmy Olsen get in trouble. God, don't let Lois Lane get in trouble. Because mild-mannered, nerdy Clark Kent would look for the nearest, I knew you knew it, he looked for the nearest phone booth. And he started taking off his hat and taking off his glasses and taking off his coat. And he'd go in his closet, not as Clark Kent, but he'd come out as Superman. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. He had on his red and blue suit that had that big S on his chest for Superman. And then he was a different person. He was able to do something he couldn't do before. Well, my brothers and my sisters, that's what should happen to us when we go into our secret closet and tell God all about it. That's what happens to us when we go into our closet and tell God all about it. We may go in discouraged. We may go in weary. We may go in crying. We may go in wanting to give in the tower. But after just a little talk with the master, there in our prayer closet, we'll come out a different way. Oh, well, we won't have a blue and a yellow, a red suit, but we'll have an S on our chest. And that S is not for Superman, but it's for saved. That S is not for Superman, but it's for servants in the army of God. That S is not for Superman, it's for soldiers in the army of the Lord. Faster than any wiles of the devil, more powerful than any temptation that Satan brings your way, able to leap over trials and ugly deacons in a single bow. Yeah. Say, so I come all the way from the Orleans Saints of God to tell you, hold on, hold on. Trouble don't last always. God called you, and you've been equipped in this seminary, and you go forth and save the world. You go forth and let a dying world know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by him. And when trouble comes, don't give up. When trouble comes, don't throw in the towel, but get on your knees and remember he promised. Remember his presence and remember his power. Trouble don't last always. He promised to be with you all the way, even until the end of the world. Let's win America to Jesus. Let's win our communities to Jesus, because Jesus is the only hope for the world today. God bless you, and may God keep you.
Remain standing.